I just can't stand working for John anymore. He's so domineering and never appreciates the things that I contribute to the project. I don't know why I even come to meetings anymore, except that I'd be sure to hear about it if I didn't show up.
Oh, it's too bad that you feel that way. I've noticed that you've had some really great comments on some of the on the new sales program, and you bring a lot of great things to this company.
Well, I'm ready to leave at any time. In fact, the first job offer I get with a decent salary, I'm taking it. And then they can find somebody else to put up with all the abuse they dish out around here. I won't have to see John scowling at me every time I sit down at the staff meetings. He always looks like he swallowed a sour pickle or something. I just can't stand that guy.
Well, I know the meetings can be really tense, but maybe it would be good for you to talk to John privately about some of your concerns.
Talk to him? And what would I say? That he's a total jerk and I'm sick of him? He'd only fire me before I found another job. And then where would I be? I got a family to look out for, you know.
Well, I know, but things won't get better if you just leave. I mean, we need you here. And maybe, what if instead you just met and talked with John and just told him about some of the difficulties you're having and asked for his advice?
As I said before, he's such a jerk, he'd probably just fire me.
Well, what if you began maybe by telling him some of the things that you've done wrong?
Done wrong? I thought you were on my side here. It's not about my performance, it's about his.
Well, every side has two conflicts, every conflict has two sides. Ask yourself what you've contributed to the situation. I mean, are there things that you maybe haven't gotten done or finished on time or things you could have done better? Maybe if you admit those to John, it might open the door to a better relationship.
Let me see if I'm hearing this right. You want me to walk into John's office and tell him what I've done wrong and expect that somehow this is going to make my coming to work here any better? Are you insane?
No, I'm not crazy. I just believe that we all make mistakes and we all have our failings. And when we're humble and honest enough, we can admit these to ourselves and to others and ask for their forgiveness. And that spirit can be contagious and they might just be led to confess some of their wrongs to us and we can forgive them.
Well, what wrongs have I done?
Well, now, I mean, if you're really honest with yourself, I mean, I think I can remember a few times when maybe some of your reports weren't turned in on time and it set us back on a project.
Well, I'm not really proud about that. But, you know, at the time I did have some family problems that prevented me from getting the work finished right on time when they wanted it.
Well, admit that to John. Ask his forgiveness. Talk with him about how you've been feeling about your job and ask him what you can do to be a better employee. It may lead him to see you in a different light and hopefully it would be the beginning of a better working relationship for both of you.
He'll fire me.
That may be a very distant possibility, but I think I know him well enough to say that that's probably not going to happen. He's not like that. I mean, I know he's a Christian too, and as believers in Christ, we're taught to confess our sins to one another and to forgive one another, even if the very worst happened. At least you wouldn't have to have this on your chest. You could let that anger go, and you won't have to carry it around anymore. Just trust God. I know that things are going to work out, so I got to get back to work, though, but God bless you in this situation. I hope it all works out.
Thanks. Why should I admit anything? He's the one who's a tyrant. And still, I'm not really completely innocent, am I? I mean, I did delay on those projects, and that slowed down the whole process. Well, that probably made him angry. I know. If I were the boss, I'd be angry if people didn't get their stuff done on time when they said they would. Well, oh my, here he is now. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to get this off my chest. But Lord, you've got to help me. Jesus said, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye when you've got a plank or board in your own eye? First remove the plank from your eye, and then you can help him with the speck that's in his eye." Isn't it true that when you're in conflict with someone, if you're honest, it's so easy to blame the other person for everything? I was just minding my business when they attacked me. There's almost, you know, always another side to the story. in just about every conflict. And when we try to fix all the blame of someone else for conflict or failed relationship, it's really true that we're not taking an accurate look at ourselves, because we're all sinners, and we all contribute in some way. Friends, repentance is the theme of Lent, and we talk about repenting, and that means confessing our sins to God, trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness, and then praying with God's help that we might live a better life from there on. But repentance doesn't just mean we simply feel bad, sad, or uncomfortable, and it's not a mere apology. We're asking God to change our hearts. In fact, we're asking God to give us a new heart and remove the old sinful heart from us and give us the heart of Christ. In our little example, Deaconess Kim helped me with here, the man was beginning to think differently about the boss. He probably still thinks the boss is a jerk, but he's beginning to realize that his own actions contribute towards the conflict and the boss treating him poorly. If he's humble enough to admit his failings to the boss, he will be opening the door to a better relationship. Now, in the church, we call this confessing our sins to each other, don't we? And James talks about that in his letter. He says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. And isn't there a lot of healing that needs to take place in and around us in all the relationships that we're in? As God opens your eyes to see how you've sinned against other people, He offers you a way of freedom, a way to find freedom from your past wrongs. And I think so many people have never experienced this kind of freedom that God brings because they never learned how to confess their sins and their wrongs honestly and unconditionally. Instead, they kind of try to shift the blame. They use the words like, I'm sorry if I hurt you, or let's just forget about the past, or I suppose I could have done a better job. Really, these are token statements, and they rarely trigger genuine forgiveness and reconciliation. If you want to make peace, then ask God to breathe peace, to help you breathe peace out by humbly and thoroughly admitting your wrongs. One way to do this is to use the 7 A's of confession that Ken Sandy put in his book called The Peacemaker, which we are studying this Lent. And first of all, first of the 7 A's is address everyone involved. Start with God. Confess your sins to God. And whether you confess to other people depends on, Sandy says, whether it's a heart sin or a social sin. A heart sin is when you maybe think bad thoughts about another person. It's not necessary that you have to run up to them and say, hey, I had bad thoughts about you yesterday, please forgive me. You know, you ask God's forgiveness for that. But when the bad thoughts of your hearts come out and they turn into words or actions against someone else, well, then it's a sin that's seen in society, social sin. Gossip and slander, stealing, lying, ignoring. First of all, the person you've talked about, you ought to confess your sins to them and anyone else who overheard you. The second of the A's is to avoid if, but, or maybe. As I said, the best way to ruin a confession is to use words that shift the blame away from you and put it on other people. I'm sorry if I said something that upset you. This really means, I'm just saying this to get you off my back, and I'll give you a token apology, but I really don't know if I've done anything wrong against you or not. Really doesn't have much reconciliation power in that statement. I think the word most commonly used is the word but. I'm sorry I drove into your car, but I was tired. You see, that's not an apology, that's an excuse. So we try to avoid those conditional confessions. And the third A is admit specific sins you've committed. For instance, a husband might say to his wife, I finally realized that I've completely failed to be the kind of husband that God wants me to be. In Ephesians, he says that I should love you as Christ loved the church, but I haven't even come close to living up to that standard. He's specific about what it is that he has done or not done towards his spouse. admit specific sins. And the fourth A is acknowledge the hurt. Show that you understand how the other person felt when you did whatever it is you did. For instance, someone might say, "You must have been terribly embarrassed when I said those words about you in front of all the others. I'm very sorry I did that to you." The fifth A is accept the consequences of your actions. You remember the story Jesus told in Luke 15 when the prodigal son was coming home and he said to his father that he didn't expect to be received as a son anymore. In fact, he said that to himself on the way there. He said, "Just to be a servant, just to be a slave of my father, that's all I expect." Imagine saying to your boss, "You have every right to fire me because of what I've done, and I wouldn't blame you if I did." That would be accepting the consequences. And you remember Zacchaeus when he came down on that sycamore tree because Jesus was coming to his house, and he was a tax collector, so he said, "Well, if I've defrauded anybody, I'll pay it back up to four times the amount." That's really accepting the consequences way above what we'd expect. The sixth A is alter your behavior. Tell the person that you're confessing your sins to what it is you're going to do to change your behavior and so that you don't do that thing anymore, to avoid further conflicts, and stick to the plan you made. But of course, acknowledge that you don't have the power in yourself to do this, to change your life, but you're going to be relying on God to lead you and guide you in this. And the seventh A is ask for forgiveness. You know, it takes a lot of humility to walk up to somebody that you've done something wrong to and say, "Would you please forgive me?" Allow them time to consider it, because God forgives our sins immediately. But other people, it takes them time. They have to kind of process that, remember the teaching that that the Lord has given us, and that takes a little bit of time. Not every confession is going to require all seven steps, but it helps to communicate that we are dealing honestly with our own contribution to conflict. And oftentimes when we confess our sins to others, they see our humility, and it leads them, especially if they're a Christian, to open up and confess their sins against us. But just as we confess sins to God and ask His forgiveness because of what Jesus has done, we are to confess our sins to one another and forgive one another. The ability to expose our sins comes from the knowledge that we are all sinners before God. And the power to forgive others comes from that great and wonderful, vast bank of forgiveness that God has given to us when His Son suffered and died on the cross for us. We have received that kind of power from our Heavenly Father, and we have the ability to share that with others. We now continue with the offering.